Again, we count it a privilege to come together, to learn from thy word, to be challenged by the things that we examine together. May God the Holy Spirit communicate to us that which is necessary for our glorification of thee and thy Son, for we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Last night we finished up the doctrine of dispensations. That, of course, is not an extensive study that we had. It was just simply to introduce to you the four breakdowns and then primarily the mystery doctrine of the church age. The corrected translation again of Hebrews 1 verses 1 and 2, God, who in various times and in different ways and places spoke in times past to the ancestors of Israel, the fathers, by means of the prophets, has in these last days, time in which the book of Hebrews as well as other books of the New Testament were written, spoken to us by means of his unique Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he designed or made the ages. Now, of course, we actually skipped over the word heir and went right into the ages. But now I want to back up and at least cover three areas that are related to our inheritance: the doctrine of heirship, the doctrine of inheritance, and the doctrine of adoption. These three doctrines are correlated, so you will find that as we are giving you notes on the subject, there will be some that we'll duplicate. That's all right. Just write it down again. That way, the second time may be the time you get it. Or it may even be repeated three times. Just put it down again. It'll be over a period of a few nights anyway. Therefore, it will be good for you. It's a good, as someone told me once, a good exercise in academics. Doctrine of heirship will be our first one. The second will be the doctrine of inheritance, and the third will be the doctrine of adoption. Definition. This doctrine deals with the various categories in which grace has provided an inheritance for both time and eternity. The major passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Point B. A, by the way, was definition. B, the basis of our heirship in the royal family. And there are five subcategories with that regard. One, heirship is based on sonship. Now, we are going to see, of course, that we are sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. But we're also going to see how the adoption of the ancient world is applicable to the Galatian account as well as other related passages dealing with the doctrine of adoption. One of the things that we will note is that an adopted child had as much right and privilege of any other child, whether natural born or otherwise, or age within that family structure. And so, by way of introduction, our sonship affords us equal privilege and equal opportunity for advance. Some of you have been saved for almost 40 years, some of you 4 years, some of you 4 months. You still have the same privilege and standing before God as the believer who has been saved for 40 years. God does not consider one any greater than the other. And I think that's a part of what's implied with God is not a respecter of persons. The implication there, of course, is that he does not show partiality. I know when I was taking education courses to prepare myself academically for the ministry, and these were requirements, child training, child education, child psychology, then psychology 1, psychology 2, abnormal psychology, and I'm glad I took abnormal psychology because God knew I was coming to Westside. But the fact of the matter was, dealing with all of these things, shouldn't I have the joke? I beg your pardon? Yes, the one thing that they all emphasized is do not show partiality in the classroom. Well, that's impossible. When I started teaching, I kept saying to myself, I should not show partiality in the classroom. And I would have students that would come in prepared, bright-eyed, awake, all their assignments done, and they looked like their parents took care of them because they were well kept. They had clean clothes, their hair was combed, there was no dirt under their fingernails, so that means that at least they had a bath sometime that week. And then I would have one that would come in, look like he just rolled out of bed, sleep in his eyes, shirt on backwards or inside out, hair unkept, didn't do the assignment, went to bed the night before after midnight, and after a while, quite frankly, I began to show partiality to my superior students. Forgive me, but I did. And the same thing holds true with members of the congregation. There's just no question about it. You get with positive believers, those that want to grow, those that are growing, those that show great enthusiasm and desire and are here on a regular basis, well, frankly, I'm going to extend myself further for you than I would for someone that just comes when they have nothing better to do or something else has taken the place of class. I should mention, by the way, there is nothing more important than your coming to Bible class. I don't care what it is, unless you are working swing shifts, then you don't have much choice. Then, of course, you obviously cannot be here, and I wouldn't want you here knowing that you left your job just to come to Bible class. So heirship, then, is based on sonship. You must be a son before you become an heir. And in Galatians 4:1, we have a word that is used, and we'll find this throughout the New Testament. It is the Greek word technon. That's T-E-K-N-O-N, which means a son under authority. Technon, T-E-K-N-O-N, from Galatians 4:1. Then we have another word, which is used in the scripture, the plural, by the way, is techna. Another word which is used in scripture, ios. That's y-i-o-s, ios. Now, you'll hear it pronounced by those who are ignorant, huios, which is absolutely absurd. Huios sounds like something that my car does sometimes. I don't know. Some noise that it comes out of. Now, ios. And if you referred to a person as a yo, or ye, which is the modern equivalent, yemu, meaning my son, or you can even say yemu, and you know what that says. My son. All right. Means an adult son and is used in John 1:12, Romans 8:16 and 17. Of course, it goes without saying, but I'll ask the question anyway. If you are not in the family of God, How could you be an heir of God? You can't. So, of course, the prerequisite is that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved, and then the doctrine of heirship immediately comes on the scene. That's one of the 40 things that accompany salvation. And you have it. You don't have to grow into it. It's always good to know what you have, however. A lot of people are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and they don't know what they have. And they don't know what they're going to have. And I think it's rather all-inclusive under the general heading of, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those that love him. So that would not only include the believer in time, but certainly the believer in eternity. All right, the Lord, and this is an important principle, the Lord is the heir of all things, and we share in all that he has. Galatians 3:26. The book of Galatians, you know, not only exposes their legalism and their failure to comply with the faith life and the power of the Holy Spirit, but it also deals with adoption. And of course, when Paul is teaching the Galatians regarding adoption, he talks about the schoolmaster. And of course, and I don't want to go into the book of Galatians, that's why I'm giving it to you now, because as soon as I do, like I went into 1 John on Sunday evening, and somebody asked me right away, well, are you going to finish the rest of the book? No. But needless to say, I will sometime. Paul deals with not only the doctrine of adoption, but then the responsibility of the child when he has been placed under the general tutorage, of a schoolmaster. And at that point, you see, he's without portfolio. He may even be the emperor's son. But until he learns and complies with what he has been taught, he never really gets to the point where he understands or appreciates his inheritance. Of course, that would be tantamount to the believer's growth and necessity of growth in the Christian life so that he can understand what God has in store for him in time and certainly in eternity. Point two, heirship is based on the death of another. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and Hebrews 9:15, which tells us that heirship of the royal family is based on the new covenant. Even though technically speaking, the new covenant dealt primarily with prophetic Israel, there is still a part of it that affects the church because it is saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. So the message hasn't changed. But when you hear the word new covenant used, make sure you understand that primarily it dealt with Israel, and then the secondary aspect would be for the church, as far as these salvation promises are concerned. Third, to inherit from God, one must possess life from God. And that, of course, is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:11-12. He that has the Son has life. So to be an heir, you must possess two things: the perfect righteousness of God, and remember, under church age mystery doctrine principles, we have double portion imputation, and eternal life. So perfect righteousness from God. And that's what makes you different, not your lifestyle, not the way you look, not the way you carry your Bible, not even that you come to Bible class or that you go to church. Unsaved people go to church. Sunday morning, there will be probably thousands of unbelievers that will go to church. And they will sit there, and they will sing hymns, and they will hear a message from the newspaper, or from National Geographic, or some other silly thing other than the Word of God. Then you have unbelievers who go to Bible classes as well as to church, who will hear messages from the Bible incorrectly taught. And they'll be more confused than they were before. Remember, by the way, if you add anything to salvation, it's work salvation, and no one has ever been saved under work salvation. You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith in Christ alone. All right, so we have then, to be an heir of God, you must possess his perfect righteousness, and you do. That was imputed to you at the moment of your belief, and eternal life. For all of the heirs of God have been justified by faith, and God's righteousness has been imputed from his justice. You see, the justice of God is free to impute two things: righteousness, where there is an affinity, or judgment, where there's an affinity. In other words, there has to be something that attracts. So God's righteousness can be imputed to us as believers because we are his sons. We believed in his son. We recognize Christ as our personal Savior. At that moment, he imputes his righteousness to us. We also share, by the way, in the righteousness of Christ, which we've already studied, from 2 Corinthians 5:21. Otherwise, the justice of God, you see, the justice of God can never be compromised. And so what the justice of God demands from you and I as believers, the righteousness of God has already provided by imputation. And so the very fact that he sees his righteousness in us, there is no longer condemnation or judgment upon us. Whereas where he does not see his righteousness imputed, his justice must condemn. That's simply the way it goes. And to whom, do you say, has he offered his righteousness? To every member of the human race. Again, it's a whosoever will situation. No one is left out. So why do people go to hell? Because they reject Christ as Savior. That's simple enough. And refuse God's plan for their lives with regard to their salvation. They want to get saved some other way, and God says there's only one way, through my Son. Point five, therefore, salvation adjustment to the justice of God is the qualification for this inheritance. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Under point 4, by the way, Titus 3:7. So the first basis of our heirship is found in our being members of the royal family as sons of God. The second is point B, C rather. The believer has a super grace heritage in time, or super grace blessing in time as a heritage. God desires to bless every believer. But there is something standing in the way of his blessing. We simply call it here the big C. And what's the big C? Capacity. God will never bless a believer who does not have the capacity to enjoy that blessing, because it wouldn't be blessing. And of course, our subject is not blessing from the justice of God, but the fact of the matter is, there are various categories of blessing. So when you see one believer being blessed in one way, don't think that's going to be your blessing when you reach maturity. That's not the case at all. There are varying categories. One has to do with prosperity, prosperity in business. Another has to do with wealth. Another area, completely different, is health as opposed to wealth. So somebody may be very wealthy and yet very ill and still be in super grace. Or they may not be very wealthy. You see, God knows what you have capacity for and what you will ever have capacity for. And for some of us, we might as well just resign ourselves to be lean. And I don't mean physically. Because you see, what would happen, I know with some people here, as soon as they became wealthy, we'd never see them again. They'd be out there trying to preserve the wealth that they think they acquired. And so God knows exactly what blessing. He's already tailored it and designed it for you and for me. And again, no believer comes short of it under equal privilege and equal responsibility or equal opportunity. But responsibility is the missing factor. And that means you are responsible to grow. I can't grow for you. It'd be great if I could. Boy, I'd just snap my finger and get you all where I want you to be. In the last stages of spiritual adulthood. Fantastic. Well, I don't have, first of all, I can't even snap my fingers anymore because of arthritis. This one, forget it. This what? Look at this. This is ridiculous. Sometimes I can, no, it's not worth it. But in any event, I can't do, or blink my eyes. How's that? Like Genie. You know, you haven't changed. You're still the same before I blink my eyes. Now, that means your constant intake of the Word of God on a consistent basis. And I say consistent because, you see, when it's not consistent, you forget it. I know. I'm gone for a week and come back, and I ask you a question, you look at me like you've never heard that. Or I just came in from some outer planet somewhere. That's why we have Bible class as often as we do, so we can keep reviewing. Now, some of you apparently think that you're phenomenally gifted in the area of academics, and I know better, because your life doth betray you. All right, the believer then has super grace heritage. How many? Every believer has the opportunity to reach maximum blessing from the justice of God. All you've got to do is meet the qualification, and that's capacity. Capacity is built by the daily function and residence within the sphere of power that God has provided for us by means of the filling of the Spirit. This, by the way, excludes Operation Yo-Yo. You know, up, down, up, down, up, down. Some of you, you know, you're on your mountaintop, and all of a sudden, you're down at the bottom again. And then there you start climbing back up again, and you're right back down again. That's Operation Yo-Yo. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Some of you are consistent in your attendance for about a week or two or three, and then I don't see you for 4 or 5 weeks. Consistently now. And you're hurting. You probably have such fragmented information, even with regard to the mystery doctrine of the church age. For instance, this is a person here tonight wasn't here for all of it. And I brought out things that I know you didn't know. Don't call me, by the way, and say, well, I missed the class. Could I have a... No. That's not a Bible question. That's a private session, and I don't teach private sessions. That's worse than counseling. Speaking of counseling, counseling can't do it because I can't live your Christian life for you with my knowledge. That's what counseling's all about. You see, you go to the Lord with your problems. You lay it on Him. You find out what His Word has to say. And then, of course, you have the choice. I've told you this before. I've given some of the most phenomenal answers to people's questions, but they never did what I told them to do because it didn't agree with what they wanted to hear. You know, that's why a lot of people go for counseling, don't you? They got some ideas in their head. And so now they want to see if they can get five people to agree with them. Well, with most of you, I won't agree with you, even if I do agree with you, just to confuse you. That's how nasty I am. Oh, there's plenty of idiots out there that'll give you all kinds of counsel. Plenty of them. They're a dime a dozen. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have a clue as to what the Christian life is all about. Here's where you get it. In class. Nightly. Every day. Boom, bam, 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 cram, 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 cram. That's the way you get it. Not, you know, like a ballerina come floating in here and do your little butterfly and then squat for a while and get up and butterfly back out again. That's not the way you learn. Whoever went to school that way and never learned anything, you got expelled if you did that. And by the way, don't you think that Bible doctrine is more important than any education you may have ever gotten from the physical realm? All right. Say, oh, he's on his tirade again. Well, you haven't heard it for a while. I've been very lenient with this regard. I'm trying to get you new members straightened out right off the bat. Just tell you where it's at and what we're going to expect. It's a privilege to be a part of this local assembly. That means it's a privilege for you to attend. And it's a privilege for me to see you attend. There's no greater joy that I have than when I see you positive, sitting and listening and learning. And there's my joy. Point two, in order for the believer to advance to maturity and receive blessing, he must have capacity. There it is. Capacity comes only through metabolized doctrine. It's always been amazing to me, having been here as long as I have. As a matter of fact, this is what, the 29th? Tomorrow's the 30th. The 1st of December, I start my 28th year here at Westside. Won't be long, but it'll be 30 years. You know, it goes so fast. That amount of time has, well, I can remember when some of you had one child or two. Some of you now have 10 going on 70. You'll have them up until the point where, that's fine. I have a problem with that. Just don't ask me to do it, that's all. I've raised mine, that's fine. That's wonderful. They're all out. We're at peace. They may not be, but we are. It's quiet. We can always send the grandchildren home. If we elect to have them for a while, that's fine. But there's always, you know, ring, ring, ring. Come and get them. That's the way it goes. You couldn't do that before. I know some of your parents would like to do that. Come and get them. You threaten them, someone's going to come and get you. But the thing that I've noticed over the years is the way people grow physically. I see kids running around. I say to my wife, who's that? She says, don't you know who that is? No, that's so-and-so. What? Well, I remember when the mother brought her and they were sitting in the back and, yeah, well, you know, they do grow up. It's hard for me to realize that. Of course, then I see a pack of little females running around and I said, who are those? All McGuire's. And what are their names? And she can rattle them right off. Boy, just pop, 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 pop. I can't remember them. Dave can't remember them. When I used to call my kids in, I'd start with the cat and the dog first, and then I'd get to the kids. Hey, Bozo, Sam, Kinky, Feetsy, John, get in here. I called one of my grandkids Sam the other night. He was acting like a bulldog, so I figured I'd... A dead bulldog, as a matter of fact. All right, capacity comes only from metabolized doctrine. Three, therefore, perfect righteousness is related to doctrine. See, God gave you that perfect righteousness not only to have standing before Him. I know this may be deep for some of you, but think about it. Just think for a minute. At the moment you were saved, God gave you His righteousness. How saved were you? You can't get any more saved, right? He did an awful thing. He left us here. And the big question is, why? Because He wants to bless us. And some of you are going to miss it completely. Just miss it completely. You'll live and you'll die unfulfilled. And to me, I don't think there's anything that's a bigger waste than a life. All right, so it's related to doctrine in what way? There must be balance of residency of the filling of the Spirit, as well as the balance of metabolized doctrine. You see, and these kids have grown up because they metabolized food. You know, it's an interesting thing. It won't be long where some of the babies now that are being held and wheeled around are going to start to take off. That means walking. Then it won't be long before you know it. Before you know it, that little girl is going to grow up right before your eyes and come home with this awful-looking creature and say that she found him on a street corner somewhere. I mean, you're going to see some of the stray dogs that my daughters used to bring home. But they were, you know, they were sympathetic towards stray dogs. Of course, they never got serious with them, but nevertheless, and I was so thankful. And then one day they said, "Dad, you know, I want to get married." And I'd look at the mother, you know, I said, "Kids, only, she's 18, she's 19, she's whatever, she's 20. What? You know, I still remember going, snapping the pin on the diaper, see. Oh, we didn't have any of those fancy things that you people have now. Oh, they had disposables, but they were ridiculous. We couldn't afford them anyway, so we just bought diapers, regular diapers. Well, you could see them just hanging down the lines. Wife, every day, we had a big diaper bucket in the bathroom. And the requirement was that it must be emptied on the hour. Someday I'll tell you a story about a water fight that my wife and I had and what I finally doused her with. Yeah, you're right, the diaper bucket. But I did wash it out before I doused her with it. I'll tell you about it. It all started with, and I don't know why men do this, but here's your wife doing the dishes, and I think a woman looks very sexy when she's doing the dishes. So I became amorous, okay? And so she's doing the dishes, and I'm, you know, I'm all over her. And so she's washing out the nipples, the little rubber nipples, okay? Be nice. And and so she filled one up with water, and I noticed she was pushing it through. You know how they squirt. So I'm still, you know, hanging over her somewhere, and she gives me one of these, right? So I grabbed another one. And I filled it up, and we started back and forth, and it ended up, now, I mean, we are in other rooms, okay, and with glasses and so on. So finally, she cornered me, and I ran into the bathroom. I'm looking around feverishly to see what I could do, and she had gotten herself a little bowl. I think it was the cat's dish, but anyway, a little bowl and filled it up with water. And I emptied the diaper bucket and filled it up with water. And so I opened the door. I had it like this, and I opened the door, and she went, ha ha, and she splashed me in the face with this thing. And I said, ha ha ha. And I just let her have it with the whole diaper bucket. She was not a happy camper after that. And I never did get what I was looking for initially. I did get wet, however. Okay. That probably might be a good place to stop. It certainly stopped her, for sure. Point four. The believer has an inheritance at the point of salvation. An even greater inheritance for eternity. You see, the one inheritance is just simply parlayed into a greater inheritance. Look at it this way. Much blessing in time, better blessing in eternity. Everything is better in eternity. Because see, the biggest problem now is we still have a sin nature, and we're in these frail human bodies, so God cannot impute to us all of the blessings that we could enjoy, that we'll enjoy in eternity, because a lot of it is related to our minus the sin nature in a glorified body. I can't even imagine. But listen to me carefully. Some of you are sitting there saying, yeah, that's what I want. Unless you reach maturity in time, you get zero. Oh, you're saved. You'll be in heaven. But you'll get zero blessing. If that's what you want, fine. Just don't come running to me and tell me that, you know, you never told me. Because I'm telling you right now. Blessing in time is parlayed into blessing in eternity. And it's all based on capacity and your availability of the Word of God. So the believer has an inheritance. And that, a part of that, by the way, you cannot lose because it was imputed to you. But we're also talking about super grace heritage, and that's far beyond the inheritance that we have in Christ. You say, well, that's phenomenal enough. Well, just imagine something that's even more than, greater than, even to the point where your mind can't even conceive it. You've never seen it, nor have you heard it, other than the fact of it. Remember? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those that love him. Father, thank you for the time that we've spent together in the introduction of this very important subject. And we avail ourselves in time for the opportunities that we have to grow. May they not just go by and then too late. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as I asked you previously, those of you that are staying for the membership class,